What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron and John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning. Well, we got to wait the extra day this week, obviously, for the Birds game, which is until Monday, but we got a Phils game last night. And frankly, we got a Phils team on a roll. I mean, we really do. They really have done. We wondered in the dog days of the summer if they would answer the bell and reclaim the greatness. It appears that they have. So, look, they're really well set up, obviously, headed to the postseason. Zach Wheeler, credit to him last night. Enough runs, not a ton of runs, but enough runs. So we'll talk about it all today. The Phils, the Eagles, as they get ready for the Atlanta Falcons Monday Night Football. You know, a big show. If you don't know Jason Kelce, you know Jason Kelce. But if you don't know, Jason Kelce will join us every single Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 in studio. So, yes, that means...
Way to punctuate it.
Well, I wanted to make sure. You know, sometimes there's... You get a little...
Good job! Exclamation point.
Correct. Stuff like that. Okay.
That's good.
So, Jason Kelce, 7:30 to 8:30 today and every single Thursday on our show. So, good morning, 215-592-9494. Rich, how are you, pal?
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Johnny.
The last Disney movie that was more hand-drawn than computer-animated
Let me take a guess.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna say was...
Hold on, let me say the stipulations again. Disney movie,
yeah.
Hand-drawn,
sure.
More hand-drawn than digitally animated, computer-animated.
I'm gonna go with that Fantasia.
Fantasia? It was like 1950. Like
that's the very first one. That's the very, very first one.
Why not? Digital
animation. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know.
Oh my gosh! There could. What year was that?
I thought it was like 40s, right?
I swear it was like 56 or something.
I thought it was earlier.
It's before that, man. It's early Mick.
40.
Early Mick. Yeah. All right, what's the answer?
Very early Mick.
Yeah.
1940. I was right.
1940.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was gonna say 41, but
wow. Beauty and the Beast, Joe. Beauty and the Beast.
The one in the '90s.
Yeah, it was 1991. Yeah. You're only 51 years old.
Okay.
Man, it kind of feels like ruined it, though.
Sorry.
Like you torpedoed the whole surprise factor you go back to 1940.
I messed up, apparently. Yeah. Well, you know who didn't mess up? The Phils last night. Zach Wheeler did it. Nick Castellanos. Let's listen to Castellanos right out of the gate. You know, he puts the Phils on the board in the first, obviously. It's a different lineup. You got Schwarber out. You got Bryson Stott hitting first. But Castellanos he's playing good baseball.
In the air to left field. Pretty well hit. Carlson going back out to the wall. He jumps, and it's off the top of the wall, and it's out of the ballpark. It went over the little fence into the flower bed. It's a two-run home run, and the Phillies take the early lead.
That's some vindication right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that had to feel sweet for Castellanos, obviously, after getting drilled the prior night. So, look, great job by him right out of the gate and by the Phils, and primarily last night by Wheeler. The dude's a stud. He is, you know, perhaps the absolute best pitcher in baseball. Phils don't have that often. They had it with Steve Carlton. They had it with Roy Halladay. Probably didn't have it with Schilling because as great as Schilling was, Pedro and Randy Johnson were doing their things. But, you know, and Greg Maddux. But the bottom line is the Phillies have an absolute stud of a pitcher. And in about 3 weeks, really, I mean, let's be real. In game one, you know, of the second round, we think, they're going to hand him the ball. And if Zach Wheeler does his job, we can all feel a lot calmer in October. And if he struggles in any way, then all of a sudden all panic will set in. But the guy's a stud. Look, we'll take your calls on the Phils. The rebound from, because I do want to get into how the dog days felt and how we feel now. It's got to be a huge difference. So all that, 215-592-9494. Now let's get Eagles on the table as well. So I want to ask this open-ended question out of the gate here. I'm curious where everyone stands. After week one, which of course was a victory, it was a sloppy, ugly victory, but a victory. I am curious if you feel better or worse about the Eagles compared to, you know, how you felt prior to that game being played. So a day or two or three or four before that game was played, what you thought then, what you felt then, and what you think now, having seen the Birds in action, better, worse, maybe you feel the same. I don't know. Richie, when you view this
camera.
Eagles thing, where are you at? Where are you at with the Eagles, better or worse, after week one?
It was a lot closer between the two, better and worse, than I expected it to be. I ended up, when I listed out, I am more encouraged than I am discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I am more positive than I am negative. I ended up with 5 positive and 4 negative. So it is close.
Yeah, it is.
Positive, number one, encouraged that Saquon was unbelievable.
He was
Saquon was better than advertised, and he is a monster, and he is going to crush it this season. Positive number two, unbelievably encouraged by the O-line play also, and Jeff Stoutland just getting everything right.
And Becton.
Mekhi Becton was outstanding. The O-line, Cam Jurgens was outstanding. They were outstanding as a group.
Yep.
There was a pocket on some occasions that's a joy to see.
On tons of occasions.
But ignored.
Well. Yeah,
and so that part needs to be improved upon. But positive number three, I'm encouraged that the field conditions were terrible and we were still able to score the way we were. We were still able to move the ball the way that we were. You know, there were some things we just clearly could not do, things they could not call.
I will say it might have been a bigger advantage for offense and defense because offense knows where it's going.
It's always a bigger advantage for offense. Yeah. No doubt.
And that can cut. But, I mean, look when Gardner Johnson slept. You know, like that's.
Yes, but it's still a positive that we can function when things aren't exactly as predicted. That was good.
Yep.
You come out of a game like that where you've got the questionable footing with a win. That's good that you've figured out how to address these things and come out the other end looking good. Our defense kept us in the game. That's my fourth positive. Our defense was the reason that we were able to. That game could have gotten out of hand in a hurry because we didn't show up way we needed to. So 6-0 instead of 14-0 allowed us right back into that game with the first time we score. Thankfully, it was a touchdown. So we're up after all of that just unpreparedness. We were still leading a team that really, really was good. So that's a lot of positives. Our defense keeping us in the game. Number five, the positive: we played a poorly executed game against a good opponent, and we won anyway. That's huge. In today's world, in today's NFL, the bads. I'm concerned about our pass rush. I had a bad attitude after watching. The lack of production, I guess. But then I go back and I see, man, Bryce Huff was slipping all over. He really had it bad. I don't know. Like, he really couldn't get his feet. And then a point that Jimmy brought up, Elliot Shore Parks reminded people yesterday that we were all up in arms with Hassan Reddick when he first arrived. When he first arrived and he was supposed to be the guy, the sackmeister coming off the edge.
Yeah.
His first two games in an Eagles uniform.
2022.
Yep. Remember the year where we ended up as a defense having 70 sacks, set all sorts of records. Hassan Reddick, game one and game two, had 0 sacks. Hassan Reddick, game one and game two, had 0 pressures. And we were up in arms. What gives? And this is our big money edge guy.
And it turned into a historic year.
And he ended up having 16 sacks the rest of the way during the regular season. That's not including the sacks he had in the postseason.
Right.
So that ended up working out okay.
Well, so look, there's a lot. I get that there's a lot. Give me the next two real quick.
Concerned about the pass rush.
Yep.
Jalen tried too hard to be too perfect, take too big a bite.
Yep.
Bad number three. We need to keep an eye on Jalen's burst. Like, that is possibly a problem. Now, we learned that the spy could be part of the issue. I thought that was interesting with Nick Sirianni. We learned that Jalen could be throttling it down, much like Bryce throttles it down the first baseline if he knows it's an out for sure. If Jalen knows the spy's sitting there, he's not going to leg it out and try to impress people with his burst.
But
don't
you think he used to? You know what I mean? That's where.
Was a mistake when he used to.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
I'll just
know that I feel a lot better about that part.
Yeah.
When we heard that with the spy.
That doesn't make
and
me feel better.
And that was out of the blue when we heard that.
Let me make this simple here. I recognize
that. Bad number four, he escaped the pocket too early.
Well, clearly. So I think this is not the easiest question to answer. And again, you can address here at 215-592-9494 after that first game if you feel better or worse about the Eagles compared to how you felt. So it's not, to me, an easy thing to answer because, as John pointed out there, a lot on the good and bad ledger, and some surprising. But I'll tell you why I lean worse. And it's, to me, it's real simple, because my two greatest concerns entering the season were issues in this game. And I mean, these were far and away my two greatest concerns. Jalen Hurts and the pass rush. Just were. And the bottom line is both left a lot to be desired in this game. Now, the irony is Jalen did a lot of great things in this game. Did a lot of great things. But the bad he put out there was also really bad. So, you know, what am I left to do but think, man, when I net it out and I see the quarterback and the pass rush struggle to a large extent, you know, it's hard for me to say, like, you know, yeah, buckle up. This is definitely a 12-win season. I mean, maybe. We'll see. You know, the better or worse thing, it's an interesting topic in my opinion, because there was so much good the Eagles put out there and so much bad. And here's the other thing. There are teams that already in football, already 1 week in, look like they've got some trouble brewing for a season that was expected to be a postseason. I mean, for instance, Cincinnati could easily go to 0-2 after this week. Green Bay.
Look at Cincinnati every year.
No, man. I know, but not always
The Joe Burrow wrist thing is a real thing.
Yeah, that's a factor.
Yeah. And then,
Joe Burrow last year was the calf, I think,
dude,
right?
Dude, Joe Burrow, no quarterback ankle? Has ever had the wrist injury that Joe Burrow has.
The knee?
None, ever. He was only able to practice 3 days in a row, throw the football 3 days in a row one time during training camp and preseason.
Well,
like,
be a
I'm
shame
concerned
if,
about the Burrow thing.
If he gets derailed, because I like that guy. He's a fun player to watch. That'll be a shame if that happens. You know, another team is Green Bay. I mean, guys, let's be real. That game hung in the balance with 5 minutes to go. Either team could win. Both teams had a healthy quarterback. By the time the game ended, one team was 1-0 with a healthy quarterback. The other team was 0-1, and their quarterback's going to miss like a month.
Yep.
And they are a home dog to the Colts this week.
Wow.
Green Bay is staring down the barrel of an 0-2 and maybe no quarterback for a month.
Why would they not go out and get like a Tannehill or something? I mean, they're going with Willis.
I don't know. Malik Willis is a disaster.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't put him on the injured list.
So
but
an MCL means it does heal itself, and that's the best case scenario.
But
they're
probably
looking at it that way.
They are in some trouble. I mean, that is tricky. All right, 215-592-9494. So that makes me feel better about the Eagles. Now, also, when you call in today, your chance right out of the gate to win a prize today on the program as we give away a pair of tickets to see Kings of Leon. Concert happening September 23rd, less than 2 weeks from now, at the Mann Center TD Pavilion. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. And here's how we give them away today. In addition to your calls on the Eagles, the Phils, whatever's on your mind, we'll also ask you this question. What amazes you? Why? Because I found out this morning that in the 1600s, the submarine was created for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things I know in life. There are things I don't know in life. I don't get... won't get ever how the submarine freaking works. It amazes me. Deep dive, going down to the bottom of the ocean. You're not like impaled by the water, like the walls just hold. You got like the pressure of God's force down there, but somehow like these walls hold. How? I don't know. I don't get it. I guess they're strong walls. I'll ask you this. What amazes you? We'll probably get a lot of scientific answers today, perhaps some other types. 215-592-9494. Like, Richie, let me give you another example. Like, a canal. How?
Only you.
How do you separate the water? How do you say, all right, water, you to the left, all right, other water, you to the right, and make way for this thing?
Engineering.
It amazes me.
Canals are amazing.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
Man.
All right. I need.
Unbelievably boring.
Well,
canal.
I do want to go through that Panama Canal and get a boat stuck like that guy a couple years ago.
That was tough.
All right, John, what amazes you and everyone? 215-592-9494. What amazes you? John, what do you got?
Fish.
Why?
Fish. I love fish. I love watching them. I love catching them. I love eating them. Their world is unknown to us.
Well, that part,
like,
for sure.
Look out the window right now. You can see the water. Beneath it, there's a whole other world.
You got to be
eating the fish out of
there.
You got to be in a canal.
It's crazy.
And then pull out the old binoculars.
No, you could be in a submarine and look out the window of the submarine.
That's
there you
what
go.
I meant submarine, not
it's
canal.
Amazing.
Of course. So give me an answer. What amazes you?
So I'm going to lean into the science thing.
Yeah.
Genetics, man. When your kid, like, obviously they look like you. Like, that's amazing. When they do things that you don't teach them that is 100% you, like, oh, that's me, and you see it.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
Genetics is an interesting answer.
More often, though, it's that's not me. More often than me
see,
claiming
it. Oh, see, I got a mini me.
There's no way that's me.
John, can I tell
I'm
you
hoping,
something?
I'm praying.
Oh, yeah, when you see your faults,
you don't,
too.
You don't want your kids to be you.
No!
Let's
I'm aware.
Declare that out of the game. Yeah. Rhea, what amazes you?
Magic.
Yeah.
Like, when I see, like, I've seen John Dorabas several times.
I agree.
When I know it's all sleight of hand, but when you're standing in front of them and they do it, you're like, how do you do that?
I totally agree with that.
I do, too.
I agree with that 1,000,000%.
Me, too. Right. I love magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, put those thinking caps on, boys and girls. Give us good creative answers for what amazes you. We should get some great answers today. We'll talk to Kelsey, obviously, in about an hour or so, and I'm sure he'll have some interesting answers on that as well. But primarily, we'll talk some Eagles football today. Phil's as well. All right,
are you going to call him Kelsey to his face?
I guess I'll call him Jason. I mean, it's weird because we always call him Kelsey. So I don't know.
I know. I think there's an adjustment that has to be made.
All right, I gotta think about that. I don't know if we're boys or not. I mean, we boys, and if we're boys,
I don't think you're boys.
Score one for my life.
That's true.
Score one for my life if we're boys. All right, coming up in 1 minute, all the calls on all these topics. Phil's, Eagles, what amazes you coming up in 1 minute's time?
If you're engagement ring shopping, don't buy a diamond until you check out the all-new bridal collection at my friends Binari Jewelers. Recently, I spent time in one of their showrooms, and I was so impressed with a lot of things, the people especially, but also their industry-leading 110% diamond upgrade guarantee on all natural diamonds. Let me explain why this is incredible. Let's say you buy a diamond today at Binari for $10,000, but later on you want to trade up to a larger diamond or maybe a different shape. Binari will give you $11,000 toward the new diamond. That's a guaranteed 10% appreciation. You can get the 110% trade-up value regardless of the cost of your upgraded diamond. Now, that's a company that believes in its product and honors their customers. If you're engagement ring shopping, don't get distracted by the latest fads and the exaggerated promises. Trust the experts at Binari. Binari Jewelers, 2 showrooms in Exton and Newtown Square, and online at binarijewelers.com.
All right, 215-592-9494. One correction. I don't make many mistakes, but I did make one a few minutes ago. I had it backwards. If Kelsey or Jason and I are boys, score one for him.
Because
would mean he's boys with.
All
right. Just let's get the pecking order straight.
Make sure you cut that and we'll play that for Jason.
Oh, it's a good idea. Let's ask Jason what he thinks of that.
Great call. Keep your mouth shut.
Let's go to the phone.
It's too late for that.
He's probably driving in here listening to this. Like, what? Why did I agree to be part of this show?
Name the hammer.
We got to ask him if he's ever talked to Mike Lombardi after that. Also, all right, 2-1.
Actually, I'd be interested to know. Yeah,
have you interacted?
Yeah. I would guess that they have certainly interacted.
And how awkward was it?
There you go. 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Dante in South Philadelphia. Hi, Dante.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Dante.
All right. I wanted to talk about Jalen and the glass half full being with the Eagles winning on Friday.
Yeah, what do you make of it?
I make it of it the glass is half full because, number one, winning is always paramount regardless.
Yeah,
that is
true. I'm not
going
to stick on that point, but it had this team lost under any circumstances, there would have been nothing positive. It wouldn't have mattered.
No, that's not true. That's not fair, Dante. They almost lost. Hold on a second, Dante. They almost lost, and had they lost, we'd still say Saquon was great. We'd still say the offensive line protected well. We'd still say Quinyon Mitchell looks like a stud. We'd still say that the inside linebackers look good.
But that would have been a much stronger connection to last season. You would have also connected the loss streak continuing. And I highly doubt that wouldn't have overshadowed every positive facet that you get.
Well, it would have. No, you're right. It would have overshadowed them. My point is it doesn't negate them completely. But, yeah, I mean,
those positives would have probably been like a more of a day two.
I agree with that. No, we're at day six.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I am also looking at this as a glass half full because Jalen was able to overcome all of the mistakes that he made. It's not just a mistake. He's still that same determined player that will not be denied. 2 out of 3 games, he's going to win. regardless of the mistakes he's made, because he's the same guy who can turn over the ball in two consecutive drives, but then leads your offense on four consecutive scoring drives to erase that deficit.
Well, and the one that salted the game away was really outstanding. That was a long drive. You don't see that often in the fourth quarter.
How about taking the lead several times back or when you're being kicked in your face? And nothing is really going right, and the other team has their offense going, and they're right there with you, neck and neck,
sure.
And they take the lead from you. You need that determination.
I agree.
That's going
Absolutely.
To happen.
I agree.
You're not going to be playing with the lead just because Jalen plays a great game.
All right, Dante, what amazes you?
Space amazes
me. Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, boy. I got you. Space. Wow.
Big. Literally Holy and figuratively.
God. And he gets it all because I just need a ruling. So there are aspects of space that I thought would come up today. Does this guy get...
I don't know.
I will say aspects of space.
Yeah, I think aspects of space. You could be, like, there's creative answers that
fair
I think
enough.
Could...
Fair. All right, so a great job by Zach Wheeler last night. The guy is incredible. I mean, I've told you for a few years now, I think Bryce Harper's number one in Philly sports and Zach Wheeler's two. And I'd like to have Joel in the top two, but I just don't think I can because I can't count on him. I mean, if we did a Twitter poll, who is more reliable, Joel Embiid or Zach Wheeler? I mean, it'd have to be 100-0, Zach Wheeler. Now, if you said
when you phrase it that way,
right.
It's just impossible.
Impossible. Now, if you said who at their best is better, then most people would probably say Joel Embiid and should say Joel
talented.
Embiid. Yeah, I mean, I get it, guys. I mean, Joel is one of the most talented players. Big men the NBA's ever seen. But Zach Wheeler is just, he's awesome. And John, he's just...
Tough, if the question is tough.
I'm sorry, say it again?
If the question is tough, Zach Wheeler is 1,000% over the top.
Look at you.
He gets the vote.
Look at the football guy crediting baseball players.
You gotta
players
love
now.
The way his Base. Mindset yeah. is just like, hey, when I'm on the mound, I'll fix it myself. When I'm on the mound, don't worry about it, guys. Like, leave it to me. Like, this game is in my hands. And I always feel like this sense of serenity or something.
If you can even call it that,
when he's our guy.
I agree with you. And that's the thing. Like, I'm starting to get increasingly nervous about the playoffs just because they're coming really soon. And I don't want to say a fatalistic attitude has set in for me, but I've seen the Phillies lose 2 years in a row. And I'm afraid, you know, there's a good chance it'll happen again. But I do know Zach Wheeler holding that ball to start the playoffs will help a lot more than someone else holding the ball to start the playoffs.
This is an opportunity to attack and win. Like,
I know.
To go take what's ours. Like, that's the way this team looks at this.
But it's not theirs.
It's not time to look at the, oh, no, what might happen? What might go wrong that also went wrong before?
Can I tell you the thing about ours, though, John?
This team is better because of what went wrong before. You know that.
I think it's a nice theory. I don't know it's true.
It's not a theory. It's how it works.
Or again,
the Braves, the Dodgers, we see this every year, John.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you could say that just because they've been there, they're better at it. Like,
I think they're better versed for what to expect.
I mean,
they're more comfortable than they were last year heading into it. There's no question this team has a better feel for what's about to happen in October.
If the bats go cold, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That's very true.
Doesn't matter. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Shortly, we'll get to something Mike Quick said to us yesterday. Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, Patrick.
Hey, so listen, I want to talk some Phils. You know, my first takeaway last night, how about our shortstop making that nice tag?
Yeah, well, how about the throw too? Well, we were lucky it was a fastball.
But I've been getting on what's his face turn with the defense.
It was smooth. He looked smooth on that tag. I was impressed by everything.
Well, that was a huge play.
Amazing throw again. Lucky it's a fastball, but man, the catcher, the Garcia, is that
Garcia?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I wasn't very familiar with him.
No one was.
He doesn't show any emotion whatsoever. I have no feel for what that guy's like as a person, but I know that he made a couple really nice plays.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah, he sure did. But listen, you know, one thing I realized too last night, you know, we're really, you know, we got some tough decisions to make come full season.
I agree.
Like the roster, and you know what? I need to see Clemens in there. You know,
oh, yeah.
I don't,
I agree with that.
I think this guy is, third base, first base, some.
Patrick, let me throw this into the mix, and I'd have to have the whole roster in front of me to, and I don't at this exact moment, but I do wonder if they'll go with one less pitcher in the postseason than typically teams do, and have one more batter than typically teams do, because. With the starting pitching generally being very strong, so you hope, you get out of that starting staff, five inning minimum, six, maybe sometimes seven with Wheeler and Nola. And then knowing you got five guys in the bullpen, especially now that it seems like Alvarado's reestablished. So you got Alvarado and Strom, you got Estevez who's joined it, you got Kirkering, and you got Hoffman. I mean, you can make an argument you don't need that. What would it be, Seltzer? Eighth reliever?
Oh, yeah.
Ninth reliever?
Sure. I mean, they're probably not going to pitch.
Like, I think that I'm good not having that extra pitcher and having Cody Clemens on the team.
I agree with you, but I think the concern is those type of games where it's a 10-8 game or a 10-6 or this or that, where you go through pitchers and you don't want to waste arms. You don't want to waste your bullets.
Well, that's where it's so key that, and it's risky, that if you go with that approach, that the starting pitchers actually deliver. I mean, there was a game in the postseason a couple of years ago. First off, you had the Syndergaard thing where he would only be allowed to pitch three innings.
The Bailey Falter one.
You had Bailey Falter.
Got two outs.
Yeah, so that means your pitchers need to get 25 outs.
And they won that game because they kept they stayed in it,
It's crazy. Anyway, Patrick, they got options, clearly.
Yeah, they do. But you know what? When did we suddenly get all these great roster players? That's what I'm wondering. go back in time. We had no farm system, it seemed. You know what I mean? We got some players that we can do something with, I think. And that's exciting. Guys coming off the bench is super critical. The timing of that throw in the tag, throw him out, tag him out last night. The timing of plays, the timing of hits, super, super critical.
Well, the two biggest defensive plays were the stop play and the Garcia play. They were huge. Patrick, give me an answer. What amazes you?
Well, you know what? That guy took space. I'm taking Mother Earth. Fish, John Ritchie, everything encompassing Mother Earth.
No, we're getting out of hand here. We're getting out of hand. That's not acceptable. Like, come on.
Mother Earth. It's a little too much.
Massive.
Yeah, we need to tighten these answers up a little bit.
But I mean, space is.
All
right, we'll figure it out as we go.
Mother Earth is in space. It's smaller than space.
We're getting out of hand.
It's
here.
Not very creative.
And also, it's just what's the point then? Yeah. Like if someone's gonna say something like a bridge or whatever, what I mean? It's like, wow, I'm amazed by bridges, but that's on Mother Earth. Like it's just too much.
Right. We'll do our best to discern as we move.
We can't allow Mother Earth.
Give us great answers for how we can go with this. 215-592-9494. Coming up, speaking of answers, Mike Quick. His answers to us yesterday about Jalen Hurts leaving the pocket early. We'll get to that coming up. Interesting stuff in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about MHS Left. It's obviously been a wild time lately to be a Philly sports fan, and the next couple months could be particularly wild. We're all hoping for our teams to be winners, and I want to tell you about a team I know is a winner. That's the great team leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley, the great people Annie and Brett Levin, the wonderful team at MHS Left. MHS Left, an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your warehouse needs, from forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization. MHS Lift does it all, and they always put you, the customer, first. With over 100 service technicians on call, MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure that your equipment runs smooth, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. They've got a simple mission: to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. Are you ready to elevate your business? Well, then call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also go to their website to start off, MHSLIFT.com. That's MHSLIFT.com. All right, let's get to Mike Quick. So, Mike joined us on the program yesterday. Oh, by the way, let me just say this before I even get to specifically Mike. If you don't know our lineup of guests, because, Mike is with us every Wednesday, but let me detail for you the day-by-day of what's going to happen on the show. Now, occasionally this will alter. If the Eagles play a Monday night game, for instance, I was talking to Seth Joyner yesterday. We're texting with him. And so instead of Seth being on our program next Monday, he's going to be on the program next Tuesday. Because, we really want Seth's reaction the day after a game. But let's just say the Eagles play a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, or any Sunday game. Generally speaking, this is what you'll have. And this is only a portion of the lineup, but these are some of the notables on a weekly basis. Ray Dittinger on Monday at 7:55. Seth Joyner in studio with us on Monday for an entire hour, 9 to 10.
Those guys know what they're talking about.
I would say,
yeah.
All right,
they can assess a game pretty well.
Twitter poll question of the day: who knows more, Seth or Ray? Ray, what's the answer to that?
Oh,
not putting it in a poll. I think is the answer.
Who would win a brawl, Seth Joyner or Ray Dettinger?
There we could say Seth. Okay, that one I feel confident saying Seth.
So Monday, Seth and Ray. Tuesdays, Jaws, 7:25. Brandon Graham in studio with us, 7:40 to 8:10. Elliot Shore Parks, 8:20. And somewhere in there on Tuesdays, typically, will be Nick Sirianni. Last year, he was typically at 8:40. I would guess that's a distinct possibility this year, but we'll see as time goes. So Tuesdays, you got Sirianni, you got Elliot, you got Brandon Graham, you got Joss. Wednesdays.
Tuesday sounds pretty sweet.
There's a lot. It's hefty, right? Pretty hefty.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wednesdays.
Like that 99 mile per hour high heater. That thing is heavy. Right. That's coming in with a mission, with a purpose.
It is. Wednesdays, 6:35, Sheil Kapadia. 7:40 to 8:40, Ross Tucker for an entire hour. 9:10, Mike Quick. Another phenomenal day. Whew. Thursdays, another phenomenal day. 7:30 to 8:30, Jason Kelce in studio, fielding your phone calls for an hour. And by the way, line up for Kelce. He's coming in, obviously, in the next hour. You want to talk to him, weigh in here at 215-592-9494.
Did we cut out Joe's hottie exchange for Jason?
Yeah, I have it ready
later?
To go.
Okay. Did we get the right one cut out?
I mean, let's just know there's a pecking order here.
What other one would it be?
There's
Hammer!
And then there's Kelce. Okay.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Is that real?
Am I going on his show or is he coming on my show?
Wow.
Well, our show, I should say. Our show. Mm-hmm. Our
keep digging that hole, buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Thursday's Kelce and then the King, Howard Eskin at 9 o'clock. And then Fridays, every Friday, Elliot Shore Parks, 7:30. Beat the Hammer, of course, got to slide that in there, 7:45. Dick Vermeil, 8 o'clock. So be tuned all week, all season. If you can hear 94 WIP, we're happy to bring you this lineup. 215-592-9494. So one of the parts of that lineup, obviously, Mike Quick, as I had referenced. Let's listen to Quick on our show yesterday, talking about, you know, Hurts leaving the pocket needlessly. John had teed this question up, and John had expressed concern about Jalen leaving the pocket early. Then Mike said this.
Same. He's breaking the pocket still a little bit early, and that's something that he's going to have to get comfortable with. And trusting that these guys, that he's going to be able to step up. And I think early in the game, there was the interception down the middle of the field where he wasn't able to step up. When things like that happen early in the game, you kind of lose that trust. But he's going to have to gain the trust that these guys are going to protect him, hang in that pocket a little bit longer, and execute the offense.
So this is a big part of the season because, you know, you can obviously do some winning the way he's played in the past, that's clear, but you want to be better. And I said it in the offseason, I'll say it again, I'll say it 500 times this year if I need to. These four words about Jalen in the pocket: step up, not out. Step up,
and it's step,
not out.
Not run. Like,
no,
it has become...
Step up.
What last year did, it really did train him to do something that's so incredibly wrong for everyone else. Yes, it keeps you upright. Yes, it keeps you uninjured. But those guys who are blocking for you, they expect you to be in the middle of that cup.
Well, so does
that pocket that they are creating.
Right.
They expect that their butt is facing you, and you are in a certain place.
So
as soon as you move, as soon as you break the pocket and run to that right sideline or the left sideline, the guy that you're blocking is running with him.
John, I agree.
And you can't stay on that block properly.
Yeah, no, and you would know that as a dude blocking, and we all have seen it. So I'll say
it's
this.
So frustrating.
To me, that's like half of it. The other half of the problem is talking about expectation. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are expecting the ball at a certain time. Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore are expected the ball being delivered at a certain time. Yes. I mean, there's a choreography to a play design.
And the interceptions that he threw were because it was late. The choreography of the play design was off because Jalen got to that decision far too late by NFL standards.
I mean, I remember, you know, when we had Irving Fryer in studio with us about 2 months ago, and it was really, and we're going to have Irving back in studio sometime soon. It was fun when he was with us in the summer. And he had referenced how when he got to his first practice, I think it was with the Miami Dolphins. So he had been a star for the Patriots, then played with the Dolphins with Dan Marino. And he said that in one of his – this is really interesting because let's get it into this conversation related to the Eagles and choreography. He said in one of his first practices with the Dolphins, he was running so fast, running the patterns. Don Shula was like, yo, dude, you got to slow this down. This is a matter of timing. I need you to be at a certain spot. Like when Dan Marino's back foot plants and it's ready for him to throw, I need you in this spot. You might be fast enough to go a little further, but like time it up. Like there's a, I mean, obviously we all know Bill Walsh wanted to be precise with the execution of the 49ers offense, which you can make the case might be the best offense in the last, you know, 40 years in pro football. What he was doing there at that time was so far ahead of the curve. And the bottom line is like Jalen, when he gets off kilter and leaves the pocket, it does throw plays in disarray. You can still make plays, but typically you'll make less. Let's listen to a little bit more of Mike Quick talking about this more when we talked to him yesterday. Mike, you experienced this with Randall, you know, as when you were playing with him. I mean, when a player has the ability to be so elusive and they've had that for years, they lean into that, and that's a hard habit to break.
I agree. It's a tough habit to break, but I do believe that it's one that you can. I thought that during the training camp, it was much better, and expecting to see that in real life, in real time, is just not realistic. So I think he really has to spend more time on task to get better at it. And there's no other way. There's no other way to do it. You can't practice that. You can practice it, but it doesn't necessarily spill over
until
you just make yourself do it.
It's an important part of the season. It really is. And again, the reason why I net out as feeling a little bit, not a ton worse, not even close to a ton worse, but a little bit worse about the Eagles after week one than before week one. Jalen, that concerned me, and the pass rush, that concerned me. Now, the positives are amazing. Saquon and the linebackers inside, all that stuff. I mean, the rookie cornerback, that's incredible. All right, let's give you two.
I'm fascinated to see the difference that these coaches, our new coaches, offensive coaches, Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, the QB coach. I'm fascinated to see the work that they can do now that they have tape, game tape, to coach Jalen up with.
I know.
And now they've got a mini bye as well. You know, with the Friday game, with the Monday game following it, they've got the tape, they've got the time. Let's see what a big difference they can make in the play of this young quarterback.
It's important. It's very important. Now, let's give you two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, well, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. First poll question. After week one, do you feel better or worse about the Eagles than you did prior to the season? Obviously, A, better, B, worse. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And you can on this question as well. I'm curious where people stand on this one. With the playoffs barreling toward us, and the Phillies are so obviously going to make it, and they start in about 3 weeks, which emotion do you feel more about the Phillies in October as the playoffs approach? Is it A, excitement, or B, nervousness? I can tell you I feel both. Obviously, I would think a lot of people probably feel both. Which do you feel more excited or more nervous? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.